right, what's going on, guys? I want to show you today a strategy the enemy and where in which he is targeting believers in these last days, and the one area that he is focusing on to weaken the body of Christ and render us powerless. Let's go.
The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
All right, what's up, everybody? It is Thursday, September the 12th, 2024. This is End Time Headlines, news and headlines from a prophetic perspective. Of course, I'm your host, Ricky Scapparo, the founder and the voice of End Time Headlines. Listen, we want to welcome you to the broadcast, Apple, Spotify, Rumble, YouTube, every platform and where in which you're listening or watching. If you're able to comment, let us know in the comment section below that you are new, if you're new, and where you guys are joining us from. Also, we want to inform you that we do have a free app. It's available on Apple and Android devices. If you just go to your Play Store, if you're listening, go to your Play Store, type in End Time Headlines. You'll see our official trademark ETH logo. Download the app today. This is how you're going to be notified of every headline, every podcast, and everything that we put out. Also, if you guys are watching this by the visual, Rumble, YouTube, whatever platform, under the description of this video, there's a link that says download our free app. If you'll just simply click on that link, you can get your free app today. Also, before we get started today, guys, do me a favor, hit that like button. Help us get the word out. Help us get our material out there and get eyes on it. And this is how you can help us do this, by just simply hitting that like button. Of course, share this content on all these platforms as well. And also hit the bell notification and hit that subscribe button. And this is going to keep you up to par with what we're doing on these social media platforms. All right. So today, guys, I want to get right into something that I felt like the Holy Spirit revealed to me in my own personal study and devotional time. And the foundational scripture for where we're going today is going to be Luke 18. I've read this passage probably multiple times throughout my years of study. But something just really leaped off the pages because of the times that we're in. The Apostle Paul marked these times. He gave an indication. He wrote to Timothy, a young preacher, a young pastor. He wrote to him in his letter in the book of Timothy. He said that the last days would be perilous, that we would see perilous times. And I believe that we're in those perilous times. We're seeing those perilous times right before us. And I believe that if many of you guys know this, you're seeing unprecedented attacks against the church. We're seeing people falling away from the faith. We're seeing pastors fall. We're seeing entire churches just falling away and crumbling, denominations just crumbling from their foundations. And I believe there's one particular area that the enemy has formed a strategy to assault and to bring an assault and bring an attack against the believers, us as the body of Christ. And I want to show you this. If you have your Bible, you guys that are watching the visual of this, I'll pull this up so you can see it. But you guys that are listening, we're going to be in Luke 19. Okay. Luke 18. I don't know why I want to say it. Luke 19, Luke chapter 18. Here it is. Then, this is the Lord speaking. He spoke a parable to them. Now look at this. This is very important that you catch this, that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. Let me say that again. The Lord Jesus Christ said men should always pray. And when he says men, it doesn't mean just men. It means men and women. The body of Christ, believers, should always pray and not lose heart. And then he went further, saying that there was a certain city, a judge who did not fear God, nor regard man. And now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, get justice for me from my adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming, she weary me. Now notice he equates continual coming with prayer. And this entire passage from Luke 18, 1 to 5, and we're going to read on here in just a minute, is about the need and importance of the persistence of prayer. Okay, then verse 6, then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said, and shall not God avenge his own elect who cry out night and day unto him? This, again, equating this to prayer. This is intercessory prayer. Come on, where are my intercessors at? Y'all know what we're talking about right here. Crying out night and day. Come on, where are the weepers? Where are those who lay between the porch and the altar and they're weeping? Where are those intercessors that are weeping over the condition of the nation that we're in? The condition of America, the condition of the world, the darkness, the evil, the wickedness, the continual lawlessness that we're seeing. If you're an intercessor, it will crush you. It will break you. It will grieve you. It will vex you. So he says, God shall avenge his own elect who cry out night and day to him, though he bears long with them. I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Okay, so I'm going to get to the last passage of verse 8, yes. But I got to drive this home. He talks about the importance of praying and not losing heart. He talks about continually praying, persistent prayer. He talks about, he talks about the type of prayer here. He's not talking about this, I lay me down to sleep and bless my food, Lord, and to my needs in Jesus' name. He's not talking about these kind of prayer. When he talks about crying out night and day, that is intercessory travailing prayer. Tears are shed. Come on. Your heart is rendered. Only those who have ever entered in this type of prayer would understand this. There is, believe it or not, there is probably people that will listen to this podcast that has never truly gotten into this type of intercessory prayer. And friends, trust me, if you've not yet, life has a way of bringing you to your knees and on your face in tears and travail to God, because you will persist and you will pursue until you get an answer. This is why Jesus said in the relation of prayer, he said, ask and you shall find, seek and you shall find, knock and the door shall be opened unto you. He that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and he that knocketh, the door shall be opened unto him. But then this is the part that really got me. So he goes through all this, and we know proper contextual interpretation is important. When you're studying the Bible, you can't cherry pick a verse here and use it over here. Everything is in context. So when he got, this is what's important here. He tells them, I'll tell you the truth, he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, now he's talking about the return of the Lord. When the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? Guys, I'm telling you, listen to me. I'm going to give you the area right here. Here it is. Listen, clean out your ears. I believe with all my heart, the area that Satan is assaulting the body of Christ right now in is in the area of our prayer life. The area of our prayer life. How important is the prayer life of a believer? Well, Leonard Ravenhill once made a statement. He said, no man is greater than his prayer life. The pastor who is not praying is plain. The people who are not praying are strained. We have many organizers, but few agonizers. Many players and payers, but few prayers. Many singers. We have few clingers, lots of pastors, few wrestlers, many fears, but few tears. Much fashion, little passion, many interferers, but few intercessors, many writers, but few fighters. Failing here, we fail everywhere. Guys, that is a powerful statement from Leonard Ravenhill. I believe this was a passage that was pulled out of Why Does Revival Tarry, or When Revival Tarries, or something like that. There's a book. I've got it on my shelf. It's been many years since I've read that. But I remember that passage that he quoted has always stuck out with me. How important is prayer? Well, in the early 1800s, there was a revival that swept through New England. And churches in that region had been dried up for a long time, and fervor for God had declined. And there was a man by the name of Charles Finney. Anybody ever heard of Charles Finney? This man felt led by the Holy Spirit to take the gospel to regions throughout to the Northeast. Finney became the face of one of America's greatest revivals. However, he did not work alone. Everybody equates the move of God in these revivals and during these awakenings where God shook America and in England and different places like this. They equate to this, that to Charles Finney and Spurgeon and many of these preachers that were influential in that time. But here's something interesting that not many people know. Behind the scenes, there was a man who was an intercessor. He was a man by the name of Daniel Nash. This man would stand in the gap. How would he do this? He pastored a church for a long time and once preached the gospel, but turned into a ministry of prayer, serving in a quiet room all by himself. Why? Why would he do this? Because God called him to pray, and he knew just how vital it was for someone to stand in the gap. This mighty man of God, Daniel Nash, would go before Finney. Listen to this. Nash would go into a town, into a region, and he would go and he would stay there for a few weeks before Finney would ever show up and preach the gospel. He would already be there for a few weeks. Nash would go and rent a room, and what he would do is he would begin to intercede and pray. Often he would find a few people in the town who would join him and commit to praying with him as well. So this man was an intercessor. He felt the leading of God to be an intercessor for Charles Finney. And he didn't want recognition. He was doing things behind the scenes. So he would go, and he would go before Finney, and he would intercede, he would pray, and Finney later contributed many of the moves of God, salvations, deliverances, and things that was seen during these times of revival. He contributed a lot of to the prayers and intercessions and sacrifices of Nash. I'm telling you, friends, we don't realize how powerful our prayers are. And I'm telling you, the enemy has got a strategy to keep us dumb, to keep us ignorant, and keep us powerless. Because where there is no prayer, there's no power. And if you have a church that doesn't pray, you have a powerless church. You have a form of godliness. But here's the scary part. Paul said there will be churches that will have a form of godliness, but he said they'll even deny the power thereof. They'll deny the power of the Holy Spirit. They'll deny the working of the Holy Spirit. They'll deny these fundamental, powerful aspects of ministry and of the walk of the believer that are absolute necessities for us to get victory. Come on, here on this earth. Let me go back to Luke 18. In this passage, the Lord, there's an interesting word here. The Bible says right here that, again, there was a city with a judge who did not fear God nor regard men. And there was a widow that came to him praying and interceding and travailing and pleading for this judge to get her the justice that she was seeking. As you go on, he says, the judge says, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge. Now, there's this word. Somebody say avenge. Why is that important? The word avenge means to vindicate one's right, to do one justice, to protect, defend, to punish, or to reward. So, again, guys, we think about it. When we want the Lord to vindicate us, to defend us, to protect us, to reward us, if we think that the Lord is just going to drop this in our lap and we not And there's nothing we have to do. No, we have to get in our prayer closet and we have to pray and we have to intercede and God moves on our behalf. And I absolutely believe that at the end of Luke 18, when Jesus says, will he really find faith on the earth? It's connected to prayer. Do y'all see that? It's all in the same passage. Now this, I'm telling you, I believe this is going to make sense to you now when I show you these passages. Watch this. Now let's go over here to, let me go to 1 Timothy 4. 1 Timothy 4, look what Paul says here. Now the Holy Spirit expressively says in the latter times, some will depart from the what? Faith. They will depart from the faith and they will actually give heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. Notice he says they will depart from the faith. And Jesus said in Luke 18, when the Son of Man returns, will he really find faith on the earth? Guys, have you ever stopped and thought about how can someone depart from the faith? Again, you can't depart something unless you were first a part of something. So these individuals that are departing from the faith were first a part of a faith, of the faith, not a faith. They were a part of the body of Christ. They were born again. And you say, well, they were never saved. No, listen to me. You cannot depart something unless you were first a part of something. But I believe that through circumstances and strategies of the enemy, Paul called them the wiles of Satan, the wiles of the devil. He weakened their prayer life. Because I'm telling you, if you are prayed up and you are interceding and you're in the presence of God, in the Word of God, you are not going to be drawn astray by seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. I'm telling you, it is impossible to be filled with the Holy Ghost, filled with the Word of God, and have a red hot fervent prayer life and you be deceived by this stuff. But here's what I have discovered. The people that I know of personally, oh, I'm going to preach whether you don't, whether you like it or not, or whether you disagree with me or not. And because I know some of y'all, you've got your denomination has taught you that you can't backslide and Christians can't fall away. But I'm going to tell you, I'm going to keep preaching anyway. So you can get mad or you could say, oh, me or amen or whatever you want. But I'm just going to keep plowing. But every individual that I have ever personally met that I know for a fact that they were serving God, they were born again, they were saved, and their name was in the Lamb's Book of Life. And eventually, through time, they ended up backsliding or falling away from the faith. Come on, giving heed to the world, loving this present world. Paul talked about that in his letters. There was people in his day that did this. Every one of them, every single one of them that I knew personally, they didn't wake up one day and say, hey, I'm going to depart from the faith. Hey, I think I'm going to backslide today. Hey, I think I'm going to go back to the bar today. Hey, I think I'm going to go smoke some weed today. Hey, I think I'm going to just turn my back on going to church and just do my own thing. No, it was a progressive thing. It was a slow process. And the one area where it started, you listen to me, this is a word. I'm telling you, this is a word. I feel it in my spirit. Is the enemy convinced them that the priority of prayer was not a necessity? So what happened? They stopped praying like they used to pray. They stopped putting emphasis on the importance of prayer. They stopped going to prayer meetings. They stopped praying for their family members. They stopped praying. And as they stopped going to prayer meetings, they stopped praying, they stopped interceding, they stopped travailing in prayer. You know what happens? They begin to, come on, they begin to be rendered powerless. They suddenly start losing the victory over temptation. They're not able to, because you know the Bible says, preachers quote this all the time and they misquote it. They preach this out of context constantly and they say, here's what they say, resist the devil and the enemy will flee. Well, they've missed an important part of that. The Bible says, submit yourselves unto God. Resist the devil and the enemy will flee. Well, the greatest submission unto God is prayer. Because if you go to him in prayer, you're submitting your will to him. Even in the Lord's Prayer, Matthew 6, our Father which art in heaven. And he talks about, Lord, let thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let your will be done. But individuals that feel like they don't need, oh, I don't need to pray. I don't need, there's not a need and an emphasis of prayer. There's not an importance of prayer. Guys, that is a spirit of pride. That is pride. And you're literally telling God that you don't have a necessity to speak to him. You don't need his power. You don't need, come on, you don't need to get into his presence and hear from him today because you've got things on your own taken care of. So let me go back to this. Jesus said in Luke 18, men ought to always pray and not lose heart. Not lose heart. Keep praying. Keep interceding. Keep travailing. Keep persisting. Then he gets to the end of the passage. When the Son of Man returns, will he really find faith on the earth? Saying, you know what this implies to me, church? That when the Lord returns, this is going to be the condition of the church. The Lord's going to have a hard time finding, come on, a praying, interceding church. And then we go to 1 Timothy 4, and we see that in the last days, the Spirit of God revealed to the Apostle Paul to warn Timothy. He said, Timothy, know this. Then in the latter times, the Holy Spirit revealed to me, there is going to be people of faith that are going to depart from the faith, and they are going to open arm embrace doctrines of demons and deceiving spirits. This is why, listen, when I get up and I do a whole program on abstaining from the very appearance of evil, or have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them, I've had people say, why do you teach this stuff? Because there's so many people in the body of Christ, guys, who have been deceived by deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. They entertain it. They fellowship with it. They participate in it. There's no distinction. When all the while the Bible says, come out from among them and be separate. So don't tell me this is not happening. Don't tell me that we're not seeing this. Matthew 25, I'm telling you guys, I 100% stand behind this message. 100%. I see this. Matthew 25, then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened unto 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. And now 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. And those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. Look at verse 5. But while the bridegroom was delayed, the bridegroom is delayed. How many knows the bridegroom has been delayed for over 2,000 years? And while the bridegroom is delayed, they all, somebody say all, they all, look at this, slumbered and slept. They slumbered and slept. So let me make this very simple for you. This, yet again, is another prophetic preview of the condition of the church in the last days when the Lord comes back. I'm going to show you. I'm going to go back to Matthew 25. The Lord says here, the Lord's showing us through this prophetic preview that when the Lord comes back, that the church as a whole, I've heard for years. How many has heard this? I'm about ready to rock some people's theology right here. I've heard this preached my whole life, but I'm beginning to see something totally different to this. Let me put on my preacher voice here and let me give you a little snippet of the preaching I've heard for years. Well, I tell you, brother, when the Lord comes back, he's coming back with a church without spot nor wrinkle nor blemish. He's coming back for a church that's a powerhouse, that is a devil stomping powerhouse praying intercessory church, because God ain't going to come back for a broke, busted, and disgusted church. How many has ever heard that preached? Now that sounds real good, and that preaches real hard. And you know what? I have been guilty of preaching that in the past. You could probably pull up some archives and I've preached that. But my perspective on that is evolving. because that sounds real good and it'll preach real good. But is it real doctrinally sound? Because when I look at Luke 19, when I look at 1 Timothy 4, when I look at Matthew 25, and let me pull it up. Let's go back to Matthew 25, because some of y'all is just rattled to the core right there when I said that. In Matthew 25, he says, when the bridegroom delays, and he is, and he has, they all slumbered and slept. The bride of Christ will be slumbered and sleeping when the bridegroom comes. But watch this. And it meant, but there's good news. Here it is. Ready? The good news is there will be a remnant. Come on, where's my remnant at? Where's my remnant in the chat? There's a remnant. That remnant's marked by the oil. The remnant has the oil and the lamps. Watch this. And at midnight, a cry was heard. Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him. And then all the virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered, said, no, lest there should not be enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready. I said, those who were ready. Well, hold on, Brother Ricky. I thought you said they were all asleep. They were. I'm going to elaborate. Watch this. Those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. That's bad news for those left outside of the door. And afterward, the other virgins came also saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said unto them, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. Whoa. All right, stop. Again, once again, he equates this with the return of the Son of Man. So think about everything we talked about from the beginning of this podcast up to this point. Will the Son of Man find faith on the earth? There will be a departure of those from the faith in the last days, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Then we go over to Matthew 25. We know that it says that all of them were virgins. I believe this is the whole body of Christ. Because you realize when you study the scriptures, you go to the book of Ephesians, once we say yes to him, we become his bride. We enter into that marriage with him, and we're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which if you look up that term in the Greek, it's literally like a wedding ring. When you say yes to him, he puts the wedding ring on you, in a depiction of the Holy Spirit sealing you with the Holy Spirit of promise. Now we're talking, I don't want to get into that because I could go into a rabbit trail. And if I do that, I'll get way out there and I don't want to do that. That's a whole other teaching, but you're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise on the day that you ask him to come into your life. But how many knows, listen, just because you're engaged to your spouse, doesn't mean that you can't cheat. Now, obviously, the Lord's not going to be unfaithful to us, but we can be unfaithful to him. Come on, are you hearing me? So listen, here's the point I'm trying to make here. See, I believe the oil represents the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Here's why. Because, listen, once you've been filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you can stray a little bit. You can start getting cold. You can start drying up. You can start, come on, becoming apathetic. But Paul told Timothy, stir up the gift of God that is within you by the laying on of hands. So in other words, Timothy already had, he had the gifts in him. And these are the gifts of the Spirit, by the way, 1 Corinthians 12. Timothy was filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He was used in these gifts. But Paul said, it's time to stir them things up. How many's ever been here? I'm going to tell you something. I've been in dry, barren places where even though I was praying, even though I was going, attending church, I was in the Word, I just really didn't feel the presence of God. I just felt very dry. I felt very distanced from the Lord. But it only took, oh, here it comes. It only took one service, one conference, one encounter, one podcast, one worship song. It only took one moment. Come on. That is of the anointing of God, whether it be in a sermon, whether it be in a song, whatever this. And it, you know what it did? It stirred up, come on, the power of God within me. And I was come on, I was pulled out of that slumber and that sleep. So I believe this is the difference here. When you have 10 of them, 5 wise, 5 foolish, notice here, they all slept and slumbered. But when the Lord came back, there was wise that had oil in their lamps. So I'm telling you, friends, this is why I believe it's important for us to stir up. Come on, stir up God in us. Stir up the gifts of God in us. We have to keep ourselves stirred up, praying. Jude said, but building up your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. And as you get yourself stirred up, the fire of God is churning you. Come on, the oil is moving and flowing through you. Then it is more difficult for you to be succumb to the wiles and schemes of the enemy. All right, let me give you one last angle. I'm going to drive home this point. Again, what am I talking about? I'm talking about, I believe, one of the last day assignments of the enemy is to wear down the saints of God through rendering them prayerless and thus leaving them powerless. Let me say that again. I believe one of the end time assignments of the enemy is to wear down the saints, to render them prayerless, which in return leaves them powerless. And when you are powerless, you will be succumbed to all kinds of weaknesses, attacks, assaults. You'll be succumbed to doctrines of demons and seducing spirits and all kinds of deception. Look, this is fascinating to me. Let's go over to Luke 22. Luke 22. Again, our plane is descending now. We're about to land this thing. And I want to finish right here with Luke 22, 39 through 46. Coming out, he went to the Mount of Olives as he was accustomed, and his disciples also followed him. When he came to the place, he said to them, pray that you may not enter into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. So we see here that Jesus is your Bible says he was a stone's throw away from the disciples, and he's in intercession here. The Bible even says that he went into such deep intercession that he began to sweat great drops of blood. So he's kneeling down. He's saying, Father, if it's your will, take this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. And then an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. Look at this. And I don't believe, friends, I believe there's a greater purpose that Jesus brought the disciples. Let me pull away from this. I'm going to pull away from the scripture. I'm going to talk to you for a second. I believe there's a greater purpose than just him going there to the Garden of Gethsemane to do what he did there, because we know that he was taking on the sins of the world. He was preparing himself to go to Calvary and ultimately give his life as a ransom and be crucified for the sins of the world. We know that that's the context of this. But if you go and you study the synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, you'll discover all through there where many, many times, in fact, it was almost every time, whether it was after John was killed in prison, whether it be that, whether it was other circumstances, your Bible said that Jesus went to a solitary place. He went by himself to pray. Your Bible says he got up a great while before daylight and he went and prayed by himself. All through those scriptures, he was alone. He was praying by himself. He was in solitude. But this passage is different. This passage, in the greatest travail of Christ's life, he did not go alone, but his disciples were with him. It says the disciples followed him. Let's go back to the text. Let me show you this. So I believe the reason why this is because Jesus was showing them an example. All right, and I'm going to paraphrase this. Boys, I want to show you in life, when you're about to face something that is going to be the greatest trial of your life, you're going to have to enter into travail. You're going to have to enter into prayer. And you can't just get on your knees and say a five-word prayer and get up and call it a day. You need to travail and intercede until something happens. You get that peace. You get that breakthrough. You get that answer from God. So here he is. Everything that Jesus did, guys, was an example to us. Everything. His whole life was a living example to us as believers. So here we see he was in agony and he prayed more earnestly. Then his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Then in verse 45, listen to this. When he rose up from prayer and had come to his disciples, he found them sleeping. Now, if it would have said he found them sleeping, that's one thing. Okay, they were tired. We get it. They've been in the desert. They've been traveling with him. They probably haven't eaten much. They've been up for days. Okay, fine. They were sleeping, and we could get mad at them and like, how in the world could you be sleeping through the greatest trial of Jesus' life? Here he is in the garden, travailing, interceding for the sins of the world, and you fall asleep? Are you kidding me? But your Bible doesn't leave it. There's no period after sleeping. You see this? Look at verse 45. When he rose up from prayer, he had come to disciples. He found them sleeping from sorrow. Now, this is interesting. Sorrow. He found them sleeping from sorrow. And he said to them, why do you sleep? Rise and pray, lest you enter into temptation. Now, here's what blew me away, guys. How many's ever seen this? This is an old message. I preached this years ago when the Lord first gave me this revelation, but the Holy Spirit put it on my heart to pull this back into here because it's all in, it flows right with what we're talking about today. The word sorrow here means pain, grief, annoyance, affliction, and mourning. Let me say it again. Pain, grief, annoyance, affliction, and mourning. We have to remember, guys, what the disciples, what the price was that they paid to follow Jesus. We don't think about this. You remember, they didn't have westernized Christianity to mold them and shape them into their Christian walk. They were following a Messiah that said, if any man desires to follow after me, let him first deny himself, take up his cross, and follow after me. These guys understood what it meant to really sacrifice and follow Christ. All these guys gave up professions, gave up careers, had to say goodbye to families. They lost, many of them lost wealth, they lost prestige, they lost influence. They literally gave up everything. Now, you remember the rich young ruler that ran into Jesus and he was all excited and he came up to him and he says, Lord, he said, good teacher. He said, what must I do to enter into eternal life? And Jesus went on this whole discourse and said, nobody calls me good. There's only one good. And he said, have you followed the commandments? And again, he was quick to answer. Oh, yes, I followed all the commandments since I was a boy, since I was a child. I've honored you. I've followed these commandments. I've done all these things. And he was expecting the Lord to give him a pat on the back and cheer him on and use him as an example in front of all the other disciples. But then he got right to the core and he says, there's one thing you lack. He says, sell all that you have and give to the poor and come follow me. And your Bible says, because the man was very wealthy, that he was grieved. He was annoyed. He was sorrowful. And he walked away in shame. And then that's when Jesus gave him the example, how hard and how difficult is it for the rich to inherit the kingdom of heaven? And the disciples then went on, read on. It says, Lord, what must we do to be saved? How can a man be saved? How's this possible? And he says, I tell you the truth, all things, he said, with man, this is impossible. Excuse me. But with God, all things are possible. What he's saying here, friends, what I'm trying to get, the message I'm trying to relate to you right here in this scripture, when it says they fell asleep from sorrow, these men were afflicted. There was grief. There was pain. They had suffered persecution. They had suffered loss. We don't truly know the extent of what they gave up. the magnitude of the losses that they gave up to follow Christ. But here's what I did find interesting. Did you know that one of the main symptoms of depression and worry is sleeping a lot? Let me just give you a few of these. Again, one of the main symptoms of depression or sorrow, depressed mood, feeling sad, tearful, empty most of the day, marked diminished interest in almost all activities of the day, significant unexplained weight loss or weight gain, sleep disturbances, feelings of restlessness or being slowed down, fatigue, loss of energy, feeling of guilt and worthlessness, loss of concentration. So the bottom line is this. Now let me talk about this, and we're going to let you go tonight. I thought about this. Daniel 7:25. Let me pull this up. Look what it says. This is Daniel 7:25. Look what it says about the Antichrist when he comes. Daniel 7:25. And he shall speak great words against the Most High and shall wear out the saints of the Most High and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until a time and times of the dividing of times. Again, I highlighted, he shall wear out, some translations say, wear down the saints. And we pointed this out in a previous podcast. That phrase, wear out in Hebrew, literally is a mental oppression. He will assault the mind of the believer. He wants to wear you down, again, to render you, watch this, prayerless, so that it leaves you powerless. Now, do we have people in the body of Christ that are, watch this, falling asleep, slumbering? They're not able to pray. They're not interceding, and they're falling asleep from sorrow. Let's talk about this. Sorrow from what? How about the oppressiveness of the political environment? How about the oppressiveness of the division of our country? How about the lawlessness? How about the evil, the wickedness, the darkness that is the gross darkness that is covering the earth right now? The days of Noah, the days of Lot, the Bible says of Lot that he was vexed by the filth daily, by the filthiness of the conversation of the wicked, of the evil things in which he both saw and heard. Can we say that this is happening? Absolutely. Absolutely, friends. I believe this is the strategy of the enemy, is he's trying to wear out the saints through them being vexed by the things that are happening in the earth, by the cares of life, all these things, because he's coming after your prayer life. And guys, this is why I believe the Lord put it on my heart to make it imperative that we started those Monday night prayer meetings. By the way, if you didn't know that, every Monday night, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern, we're entering into a corporate time of intercessory prayer and intercession. And we're, as a body of believers right here on YouTube, if you don't subscribe to our YouTube channel, you're going to miss out on this. You'll have to watch the rebroadcast of this. I want you to come in here live and we pray, we enter into this. Why? Because this is imperative. It is essential that we have this as a body of Christ and as individuals to get the victory in our lives. Does this make sense to anybody? I hope this makes sense, because let me bring this home. I want to keep saying this, and I want to drive this in your head. If we are prayerless, we are powerless. And if we're powerless, we cannot overcome the wiles of the enemy. We will not have any resistance. We will not be able to pull down the fiery darts of the wicked one. We will not be able to pull down the strongholds of the enemy. We'll be succumbed to this thing. And you know what's going to happen? The Bible says that. And here's the thing I'm concerned about. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, there's going to be a spirit of, there's going to be such a strong delusion that is released in the earth that if it were possible, the very elect would be deceived. So if it were possible for the very elect would be deceived, how much more are you and I, come on, susceptible to these things? So again, I felt like this was a word I need to deliver. I think it would be an injustice for us not to pray right now. So let me get some announcements out of the way, and then we're going to enter some prayer. Again, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. Download our app. Get it today. Apple, Google, Google Play Store, Apple Store. You can get it, download it, hit yes to push notifications. You'll be squared away. Guys, if you'd like to support our ministry, partner with us, two different ways you can do that electronically. You can give through the app or through the main website right there on your screen. You can give by check or money order, Intime Headlines, P.O. Box 1391, Monroe, Georgia 30655. So everybody that's watching, listening, if this message resonated with you, listen, we're not pointing a finger. This is not making you a bad guy. Maybe you're watching this, you're listening to this. You love God, you love the Lord, you've been serving the Lord, you've been born again, your name's in the Lamb's Book of Life, but you recognize that this is one area where the enemy's attacked you. You could say, Brother Ricky, I have been attacked in this area. Every time I make a point that I want to pray, and I'm telling you, people, you guys that will make a commitment to pray on Monday night, watch what will happen. The enemy will throw everything but the kitchen sink at you to try to keep you out of prayer. Whether it's distractions, whether it's unforeseen events that will pop up, all these things will come. Why? Because this is where it's at, the prayer. The prayer is the main thing. This is the lifeline. And the enemy is coming after it. And it's so much so that he tells us in the last days, will the Son of Man even find faith in the earth, equating it to prayer? So this is important. So if you're watching, you're listening, and you recognize by this word today that was delivered that you need to step up your prayer life. You need to step up your prayer life. Here, I'm going to tell you what you need to do. Here's what you got to do. You just got to make that commitment. You got to turn that phone on silent. You've got to put on some worship music, whatever you got to do. Put all those things aside. And listen, even I am guilty of this at times where I'm like, oh, I've got to get this done. And then Lord, I'll pray. And you know what? Shame on me for doing that. That's those little foxes that come in, because the enemy knows, but we know, I'm telling you, I'm here to tell you, if we will put prayer first, the first fruits of it, of our day in prayer, if we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then all these things shall be added unto us. But the enemy doesn't want you to figure that out. He wants you to think, oh, you've got to get that work done. You've got to put this done. You got to get that done. And the Lord understands, then you can pray. No, no, no. That's what the enemy is trying to convince us of. Because you know what will happen? Come on, y'all hear me? You know what happened? You'll say, I'm going to get to prayer, and you'll never get to it, because the enemy will keep you so busy and distracted that you'll forget about it and you'll never get to it. And you know what'll happen? If you do this maybe one day, and you're probably going to be fine, but you start making a habit of this, you're going to get in big trouble. So if that's you today, you recognize this, I'm speaking to you, I'm knocking on your door. Come on. I'm in all up in your mail today. I'm at your address preaching this word, then it's time for to receive this word. Come on, let's pray right now. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this word that you've given me in my heart to deliver today. I pray that it would go forth and not return void, but it will prosper in that which is sent forth. Lord, I pray that there be a stirring in our hearts right now in Jesus' name. Put it on us. Put it on our heart. Let us make that commitment, God. I know we have to step out by faith and say, Father, it's for me and my house. We shall have a house of prayer. Lord, we will make that commitment. We will seek ye first your kingdom and your righteousness. Lord, we'll enter into that secret place and shut the door, and we'll pray in secret so that our Father will hear in secret and reward us openly. Father, we thank you that, Lord, you said that we can come boldly before the throne room of grace and obtain mercy in the time of need. Father, we thank you that mountains can be moved in prayer, strongholds can be broken in prayer, answers can come through prayer. Lord, we know that, Father, the enemy will try to do everything he can to keep us out of this. We understand and we see by the Holy Spirit that our prayer life is being under assault, because the enemy wants to render us powerless. And if we're rendered powerless, Lord, that we cannot obtain the victory. We can't get the victory in our lives in Jesus' name. But Father, I thank you right now in advance. Father, you're pouring out fresh oil and fresh fire to those recipients that are receiving it today. Lord, there's some praying mothers that are receiving this today. There's some praying fathers that are receiving this today. Some praying grandmothers and grandfathers that are receiving this today. There's some intercessors right now I feel led by the Holy Spirit to tell, we've got some intercessors. You know, you're called to intercessory prayer, and the enemy has put you on empty. Your tank is empty. The oil is running out. I want you to put your hand on your belly right here. And I declare today, I pray that the Lord stir up that gift in you right now. Stir up intercessory prayer. Stir up that travail. Stir up that prayer life in Jesus' name. Stir up that fire and that oil and that anointing, that calling in Jesus' name. May you weep and travail and pray like never before in Jesus' name. I rebuke the adversary. I come against the devil today. I come against every distraction today. I come against every adversary today that would try to pull us away from our prayer closets, pull us away from praying for our families, pull us away from our communion with God and our travail in the secret place. I come against those distractions in Jesus' name. Father, I pray that you reveal the stronghold of these distractions and the very thing that's keeping us out of the prayer closet. Reveal it today to your people in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Father, I thank you today. Lord, I pray that the people of God become not weary in well-doing, but in due season they will reap if they faint not. Lord, you said in Luke 19 that the persistent widow woman prayed night and day, cried out night and day, and through her persistence, Lord, you said, though it didn't happen overnight, it said a little while, eventually you avenged her of her, of what she was avenging from and what she needed from the judge. And you said in Luke 19, how much more shall your heavenly Father avenge those who cry out night and day? I tell you the truth, he will avenge them speedily in Jesus' name. Oh, I thank you, God, that people's prayers are coming through today. I thank you that breakthroughs are coming today. And because the enemy has kept them out of the prayer closet, their prayers have been delayed. Their blessings have been delayed. The answers to prayer has been delayed. Their breakthrough has been delayed. Lord, everything that they've been believing and praying for has been delayed because the enemy has convinced them, or because they've allowed these sorrows of the world to creep in, and it has kept them out of the place where they can petition their prayers to God. But Lord, I thank you today that you're repositioning them in the rightful place in Jesus' name. And now look, I was getting ready to close this and I got to check in my spirit. I don't know who this is for. This is amazing when God does this, because I will release these words and then I'll get an email and a message and they'll be like, this word was for me. I don't know who this word is for, but listen to me carefully. There is, this is a specific word, because so this is not going to be for everybody. There's somebody that's listened to me. You're a pastor. You're a pastor of a church, and the enemy has tried to convince you that it's going to be your prayers, your teaching, your equipping, and your ministry that's going to produce revival in your church. The enemy is worried, and you've wrestled with this because you know that's proudful. That's not the enemy. But I feel like the Lord is saying that if you will seek out among you the Daniel Nashes of your church. Remember, Finney had the harvest because he had Nash that went before him. Come on, to break up the fallow ground so that the seed can be planted and bring forth the harvest. So I don't know who this word is for, but there's a pastor that's listening. And if you will recognize those who labor among you in intercessory prayer and rightfully put them in those positions, come on, give them the green light. Let them, I don't know what that looks like for you. Maybe it's a certain day of the week or give them keys to the church. Let them come in and just walk around that church and pray for an hour every day, whatever. But if you will give them the green light, let them travail, let them pray, let them intercede. Watch what God will do and watch and see if you will not see the harvest and see if breakthrough will not come to your church. Wow. I felt that, man. I'm telling you, that was a word for somebody. I don't know who that is, but receive it today in Jesus' name. Listen, we love you guys. We appreciate you so much. We're going to sign off for tonight. We plan on being, again, Lord willing, Be back on here tomorrow, Friday, September 13th, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern. Until then, I pray that the Lord would bless you, that he will keep you, and may his countenance shine upon you. We'll see you then.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.